Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour for March 14th, 2019. And I'm going to try a little bit different format for my show tonight. What happens is I waste far too much time reporting on these really stupid things that are coming up. And I mean, every week there's just more and more. So what I'm going to try and do is do kind of a shotgun approach where I talk quickly about these because I want to get into the main science topic, which is dust belts in the solar system. All of the planets, including Earth, are now reported to have dust clouds in their orbit. And of course, NASA comes up with, oh, there must be an asteroid out there. Just ridiculous tripe, basically, tier two baloney. But it's good enough to fill journals with crazy articles. But anyway, I'm going to go through this entire list, hopefully, in about 15 minutes, so put on your seatbelt. You couldn't have gone through this week if you're at least on the internet or on TV shows, watching news, etc. You couldn't have possibly, or late-night TV, you couldn't have possibly gotten through this week without hearing some derogatory remarks about a guy named Tucker Carlson. He's a Fox News evening. He's with Hannity, he and Hannity and, all the other evening Fox News shows. And anyway, he was attacked for having said some derogatory remarks something like 14 years ago, some of them many more years ago, when he was on a radio show, which was kind of not as possibly respectable show as he has today. But the clear attack came from something called Media Matters, which is a George Soros organization. And what they try to do is do anything possible to destroy somebody's name. And so you can tell that these comments were taken out of context, number one. And number two, they were in the manner of the show, like if you listen to, say, Howard Stern, say you are a Howard Stern fan, Howard Stern has serious commentary, and then he has some off-the-wall commentary, and people listen to this. That's part of a venue. So at any rate, they took these clips, very short, out-of-context clips, trying to make him look bad. And if you heard these and you were convinced that Tucker Carlson is a bad person, then you bit the hook. You bit the media-constructed fishing hook, which was meant to throw lots of people into a boat to basically attack Tucker Carlson. I listen to Tucker Carlson all the time. And I've tried to get on his show a few times, more recently when he had a guy on, and this is the topic of my show last week when I talked about as people realize that alternative energy, the three-blade wind turbines and solar panels don't work, and these Stirling engines and all of this solar stuff, none of it works and none of it will ever make a dent in our actual energy needs. Tucker Carlson had a guy on there proclaiming that, and I wanted to get up as a follow-on to give the real story, which I gave you on the air. But the bottom line is they went after Tucker Carlson. Now, I want to give you an example of how they did the same thing to me, although I never talk about my topic is science and, of course, Tier 2 science and a lot of criticism of NASA, etc. But this was prior to 2012, and I was spending a lot of my showtime saying that 2012 was a hoax, that it would never happen, and that was one of the big things that was a CIA-operated hoax that, and of course, they try and manage both sides of the dialogue, where they have the white hats at NASA saying, oh, how ridiculous this is, and then they actually support the people on the other side. It's a controlled dialogue. And, of course, it's to make the one side look crazy. They're doing the same thing now, as I talked about last week, where they're trying to put everybody that says anything derogatory about NASA's Apollo program, they're trying to claim that, oh, those are just those flat earthers. So if you say anything derogatory about NASA, oh, you're a flat earther. You see, it's a game. It's a game they play. But anyway, they went after Tucker Carlson and they lost. I think more people listen to Tucker Carlson today than they did a week ago. So they did nothing but create fame. In fact, some of the old Hollywood stars used to say that bad publicity was good publicity. I knew a guy once, I did some lectures with him, etc. His name was Mark Hazelwood. We became good friends, etc. And anyway, he lived next to Bob Hope. So he grew up in Hollywood. His dad was Lee Hazelwood, who wrote a lot of Nancy Sinatra's music. And so anyway, in talking to Mark and having grown up in the middle of Hollywood with the stars in his house all the time at parties, etc., and just visiting, dropping in, the common sentiment in Hollywood was that bad publicity or saying something bad about a person was good publicity because then everybody got to see your name. So it doesn't matter. A week later, people forgot about what the news was, but did remember the name. So when the casting call came up for the next movie, you had a better chance of getting a part because your name was in the news. Because, you know, so anyway, and people love, stories about Hollywood, etc. For some reason, they feed off of it. But anyway, back to Tucker Carlson. On YouTube, the CIA did this prior to 2012, did this to me. They went back into my radio shows back in the early 2000s, and they took and they cut and they pasted pieces of my radio show together and made it sound like I was saying that this solar system of Planet X was coming in and that we were all going to die and it was imminent. That video is still being bounced around on YouTube, even though they have been told dozens of times that that's phony, that's a mock-up, that's not something that I promoted, nothing that I said. It was they took clips of my voice, cut and pasted, and I had a listener who went out and found the radio shows, actually found the various radio shows. They spanned from 2002 to 2004. Somebody took a lot of time to put that together and put it up on YouTube, and then YouTube promotes it. Now, YouTube promotes people that steal my work, lots of people, but they won't allow me to post anything on YouTube. And if you, as a listener or a fan, go out there and say, put a blog comment under a video, say, why don't you listen to James McCanny on this topic, it will be immediately erased. So they have keys that if my name or my webpage or anything favorable about me is mentioned, it is immediately erased. So there are people out there that are working overtime to silence what you might call the real opposition. Okay, now here's a story that it just blew my mind when I saw this, although I don't doubt it at all, because for a long time, when I took the SATs as a student, there was no training classes. You just went in there cold. You didn't have any way to prepare for it. You just went in there and took it. And I did, of course, very well and did super well in physics and mathematics and got a full scholarship to college and then got a full fellowship ride when I went to graduate school, etc. But then they began having courses where students could, the parents could pay and the students would go and take courses on how to prepare to take the SATs. These are the standard aptitude tests that helps colleges decide if you're good or not to go into their school. Okay, so the pressure goes on, and there's a lot of pressure, especially among students, to try and get into that college, you know. And of course, here's where it comes in. When I was at Cornell, man, the parental pressure on those students was over the top. It was incredible, the amount of pressure. So now what's going on is that the parents began bribing, paying off students to go in and take an exam in the name of another student, paying off intermediaries that would bribe people in universities and colleges to get their kids in. And it got to the point where they were actually creating fake pictures of athletes where and put the kid's name on it when this kid was no more an athlete than the man in the moon, and paying, in some cases, millions of dollars for their student or their kid to get in as a student at a university. And now this is coming, the gloves are off. It began in Boston, but this is something you want to follow in the news because, and I have said over and over, that universities are over the top. Also, when they started really raising the rates to get into university, the tuition and the fees for textbooks, by the way, not to mention the textbook companies capitalizing on this also, the schools started raising tuition through the ceiling. I mean, just outrageous prices for kids to go to college. And that's because they realized that mom and dad, by the time junior or sis was in college age, ready to go to college, they had paid enough on their house that they could mortgage the house. And so people do that. You know, and these kids have, you know, what, $150,000, $200,000 in loans by the time they get out of college. And really, many of them with no ability to get a job, certainly nothing that would help pay off that level of loans, etc. So anyway, this whole college entrance scam, unbelievable. And there's going to be some people going to jail over this, including movie stars, parents. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. So my estimation, as I've said publicly, college for the vast majority of students is advanced babysitting. A few people will get out of college and actually build careers out of this. But a lot of people would be much better off going to a technical school or just starting a business. By the time, this is what I've told kids to do, when you're in high school, by minimum, by the time you're a sophomore in high school, you should have your own business going, so you're savvy. And then by the time you get to college, you should be making enough money off your own business to pay your way to college. And if you don't, keep your business going. And when you get enough money to pay your own way to college, this idea that college should be free has been tried in other countries. And it's typically a failure because people become professional students. It's like these people never grow up. It's like Never Never Land, that they can stay in the university or college, live that college lifestyle, sleep late, and never get a real job, never get into the real world. And that's one of my criticisms of university professors, is that's what they're like. They never have been out of that university system from the time they entered as freshmen in colleges. Quick note on the Boeing 737 issue. In the United States, United has 14 MAX 9s. This is just the longer version of the MAX 8, which had the two air crashes in the past week. And pilots have reported having trouble controlling them. President Trump has called and talked to Boeing, saying that these planes are too difficult to fly, and the pilots really are not even flying them. American Airlines has 24 MAX 8s that is still flying in the United States. Most other countries, all of Europe, has shut them down. Africa, Australia, most other countries have completely shut down any use of the MAX 8 Boeing 737. And except in the United States, as I said, United. And I believe when you make flight reservations, you can see the airplane that is going to be on that flight, the type of airplane it's going to be. So these are 737s. And I know I've been on a few of these in past years. But the United has 14 of them that are MAX 9s. There's still 737 class in American Airlines with 24 MAX 8s. So, and it does appear that these airplanes have problems, that there are reports of pilots losing control. The one in Africa this past couple days, the one that crashed, just came straight down into the ground after takeoff, 200 feet, with all people, of course, killed on board. The person, there's eyewitness reports that said that the plane swooped and swerved before it finally nosed down into the ground. So clearly a problem with that aircraft. Boeing trying to do damage control, but clearly the FAA also siding with Boeing. And this is something I really have really big reservations about the FAA. When Paul Wellstone's airplane was shot down out of the sky or blew up in the sky, and also the Kennedy, John Kennedy Jr. airplane, the FAA was nowhere to be found. Well, they were on top of it, but they're basically putting out false reports, literally false reports. I know for a fact that when Paul Wellstone's plane went down, the FAA was Johnny on the spot to cover up that incident, which we don't know who did it. But remember, Paul Wellstone was the swing vote to prevent the United States from going to war in Iraq. Auditioning politicians. This blew my mind. I mean, when I was watching this, I couldn't believe it. But there is a there's a link, and let me just pull this up so I can. Okay, so here's the link. It's forbiddenknowledgetv.net. So once again, it's https://forbiddenknowledgetv.net. And then the topic, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a puppet, the brains behind AOC. And this is an amazing, at first I didn't believe it. I thought, this is crazy. But this guy puts together an amazing compilation, and it's, you can see by the end that this is very true, that the Google Eyes Cortez, as I call her, the from New York that got elected into the House of Representatives, along with seven other junior or freshman representatives in the House of Representatives, were elected and backed by a group called the Justice Democrats. Now, this is a strange story, but she auditioned along with 10,000 other people from New York City, and she won the audition, and they backed her and promoted her to the point that she won this election. And this was the interesting thing that you see. If you see her in an interview, if she's not scripted, if she's just talking, she comes off like a complete bubble-headed idiot, you know, a freshman in high school or worse. And she just disjoint, can't pick her words, really has no knowledge of what she's talking about, just comes out with completely idiotic statements. But they've soon learned that they have to script her. And so she's an actress, basically, and when she talks, she can come off sounding very intelligent. But they coach her on what to say. They are sound bites that are picked and chosen. She's coached, and then she goes on the air and makes her look intelligent. And it's like an act, and it's really true. So go to that website. I'm not going to try and repeat everything this guy goes through. But once again, it's https://forbiddenknowledgetv, the letters tv.net. And then it's about Alexandria, I can't even say it, AOC, about how she is a puppet, basically, which she is. So anyway, go see that. That is a mind blower in how this began by the Young Turks, which is a group of social democrats that are, once again, paid for by George Soros. And so what they're doing is they're trying to destroy the careers of the older guard in the Democratic Party. And of course, here's another point, that when Hillary Clinton lost the presidency, which was not supposed to happen, that was to retain the Democratic Party and Washington for the Clinton and Bush, basically, cartel. And then after Hillary ran and was president for 8 years, it would be Jeb Bush. And then after that, they even talked about Chelsea Clinton coming in as president for 8 years, and then it would be another Bush. So anyway, this was the plan. And when Hillary lost, that left a vacuum in the Democratic Party because Bernie Sanders had been bumped out. And so this Justice Democrat group took on Bernie Sanders' fundraisers, and basically the mental staff of the Bernie Sanders campaign took them on and constructed this campaign to get in freshman congressmen. And they had 73 that they ran, 26 that went past the primary, that actually got into the primaries, past the primaries, and 7 that actually got elected to the House of Representatives, which is amazingly good numbers for a group that's just coming out of the starting gates. But what's funny, I don't know if it's funny, I don't think I would laugh at it, but the guy that this Jake guy from the Young Turks, kind of a mouthy guy from, you know, kind of a street-like character, who's like the kind of heavy set, and you would probably more pit him as a good candidate for a drug dealer on this on the New York City streets as opposed to a talk show host. But anyway, he promoted this, and he was one of the instigators of the Justice Democrats a number of years ago, starting this whole thing. Well, they basically ousted this guy. Now, this smells of, if you go back to the Russian Revolution, where you had Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin and all the people, some of those people service, but the Trotskyites and other socialist communists in the parties in Russia created factions. And there was a lot of warring, there was a lot of infighting, real fighting, killing amongst these groups. And a lot of the war, if you look at, say, the movie Dr. Zhivago, portrays this very well, where Laura's boyfriend, the little beady-eyed glassed guy leading the Russian populace up and down the streets into the gunfire, etc. You know, this is where the Democratic Party is going. It's really bizarre to see. But, trying to prey on the poorer segment of the United States, who are now, by the way, very well employed. So this is a strange situation, but they then, along with election rigging and vote fixing that comes along with the Democratic Party, they're able to pull this off. So this is something that's really actually very scary, that to see that there are groups like George Soros and Media Matters, who, by the way, was who went after Tucker Carlson, building up a political machine to take over where the vacuum of the Democratic Party left off. Okay, so anyway, on this story, I can't believe it. There's a new weather term. Remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about the polar vortex, the sexy new term, or how about the double eye wall hurricane, a new sexy weather term to explain away manipulated storms. Well, now we have the bomb cyclone. And in my weather book and in my weather work on the air, etc., I talk about weather bombing. Weather bombing is a mechanism for creating weather that literally destroys population areas. So the hurricanes like Katrina was weather bombing. I talked about it during the Katrina days, or during the recent year and a half ago, the raiding of the Caribbean islands and Florida with weather bombing. Well, now the news media has picked up the bomb cyclone as a term. And so anyway, right now there's a Himmacane, which I guarantee you, I looked at the weather patterns. This storm is manipulated and it's coming across hurricane force winds in the middle of the month of February with tornadoes, snow tornadoes, if you can imagine this. Remember when you were a kid, you were taught that it was the hot August days that would bring around tornadoes. Well, now we have the sub-zero freezing February days that are bringing tornadoes into the Midwest, upper Midwest, with tremendous amounts of wind, snow, and cold, extremely cold, wind chill. They're saying that 20, this is the definition of a bomb cyclone, where the 24 millibars of pressure drop in a matter of minutes. Well, that's a manipulated storm, just as they did with the hurricane, the one that came into Florida, what was the name, and the one I was actually in, affected Florida a couple years ago, and it was supposed to basically weather bomb Florida. People down in Naples area, I understand, are still, some of them, without electricity. But anyway, my vote is that this is a manipulated storm, and it's going to cause severe flooding. We're going to see severe flooding in all parts of the country this year. California, there are reports of as much as 60 feet of snow up in the mountains above Reno, where all of that's going to melt. And when that comes melting down the mountainside into California, wow, better build an ark. And also the upper Midwest has tremendous amounts of snow. So if you get a very rapid warming trend in the upper Midwest, you're going to see severe, severe flooding in the upper Midwest. The other thing that's going to go along with this are power outages. Power outages forecasted, and they're saying that as many as 100 million people might be affected by this. Just a quick note on a science issue. This was from a listener, where there's a study from Greenland ice cores where they're saying that there were tremendous solar storms around 660 BC. Now, this is due to geologists looking at ice core samples that have tracers of what you would interpret to be solar storms. Number one, they don't include the possibility that this activity could be due to passing comets, which is a more likely scenario. And number two, they use the astronomers' model of the universe and the history of Earth to say that the Earth and the Sun had to just do this all by itself. The Sun, let me tell you something, explain something here. The Sun doesn't just do this all by itself. When there are physical events that happen, there are reasons for it. For example, right now, if you look at this storm that's in the Midwest, there is no reason for a storm of this magnitude this time of year. Where we are, as I talked about before, in the February return current sheet, but that has to be complemented with some activity from the Sun to extenuated interaction of that current sheet. The reality is that the Sun is not active at all. In other words, we do not have enough energy. You might have a little bit of energy that causes auroras. That's one issue. That's extreme low energy when compared to a Himmacane, something over land. And so when the Sun kicks up and has major events, it's because something kicked it off. There was a spark plug. And we've seen hundreds of videos where comets come near the Sun, and basically the Sun explodes when the comet discharges the local solar capacitor. And so there's a cause and effect. These things don't just all of a sudden happen on their own. And right now, as I said, we are in an extreme solar minimum. They say we've started to climb up, and because of the position of magnetic fields on the equatorial region of the Sun, some scientists believe we've now moved in past the low point of the current solar cycle and into the next, moving up to the next solar maximum. But it's very difficult to tell because the typical signs that the sun gives off for solar minimum and solar maximum are simply not there. But the only point I wanted to make here is that geologists are following the lead of astronomers, astronomical theory, and coming up with wrong conclusions. And of course, they never include the idea that possibly comets could be the cause of interactions with Earth, where you see energetic tracing in the ice cores. And also the fact that, well, the Greenland ice core, you have to understand, was both in the old North Pole and in the current North Pole. It's one of the few areas that was covered with ice in both cases, where the Laurentian, what we call the Laurentian ice cap, covered much of North America and did not extend into Siberia. Although I've seen people trying to draw pictures of that, it's simply not true. They're trying to change history. But anyway, just a commentary that geologists, and I talked about this before, that geologists and other sciences, they follow the NASA lead that there is somehow a that the Earth just did all this by itself. Just a quick commentary on Brexit. Brexit has 16 days to go before England leaves the European Union. That's what the British people voted for. They're talking about economic chaos, but I don't know. I'm not sure what has happened. This May woman, I said before, if she's still in office, then England will leave the European Union on March 31st. That's just a couple short days away. She's trying to stall it. They're trying to pass legislation to put the date out farther. Anything to stall this, and the European Union is coming back and saying, well, what reason should we acknowledge an extension? If you're going to leave the European Union, then sayonara, you're gone. But the whole economic system in Europe is really, well, we'll see. But that's coming up here in just a few short weeks. How to interpret news hype articles about wind power and solar power. And I'm going to use a specific article here. It was written in, let me just pull this up. Okay, this is in financeyahoo.com. So Yahoo, a very controlled news media. It says DTE is the one of the DTE Energy. It's listed on the stock market as DTE. In just opened up a large wind energy production facility in Michigan. It's called the Pine River Wind Park. And they claim that there's enough clean energy substantially power more than 54,000 homes. Okay, stop right there. What are they talking about here? They are talking about 65 wind turbines. So let me just examine this from a real numbers point of view. These are approximately, given the numbers they're showing here, approximately 2.3 megawatts per tower. And this is what you call the nameplate value. This is what, at 100% capacity on the windiest day, that's what this one of these wind turbines would put out. So you multiply 2.3 times 65 turbines, and you come up with, according to their claim, about 160 megawatts of power that could potentially be put out by these 65 towers if the wind was blowing extremely well and all of them were functioning. Okay, well, let's take a look at reality. Could these power 54,000 homes? And if you take that calculation and take the national average, which is an industry average of 1,300 watts of electricity being used, that could power 110,000 houses, according to the national average. However, let's look at reality. The industry average, and so it's really amazing, where do they come up with this 54,000 homes? Because the national average for wind energy, and this is published by the National Wind Energy Association, not me, This is their average. My average would be much lower, but they say 20%. So that would mean with this setup, it would on a average week or month, that would produce enough energy for around 22,000 homes, about literally not about 40% of what they're claiming here. But then again, here's what happens. Here's the reality. This is what they've learned in Canada. This is what they've learned in other places around the country. When you have a 30-mile-an-hour wind, which is what these are rated for their maximum capacity, you have gusty wind. And the problem is, as you drop off from 30-mile-an-hour wind, the energy produced by these wind towers drops off exponentially. In other words, if you have a 30-mile-an-hour wind for maximum power at 15 miles an hour, you do not get half of the power. You get about a tenth of the power. So these only have a very narrow range of wind that they operate at, and it's very close to the maximum. And as soon as you get over that maximum wind of, say, 30 miles an hour, it drops off. They just simply shut them down. So the end result, and now if you go any place in the country, to Kansas, Nebraska, southwestern Minnesota, the region, Eagles Pass, east of San Diego. I've been in probably most of these locations, also along the border, the Toronto, the southern border of Canada, along the Great Lakes, where they have just thousands and thousands of the three-blade wind monsters, as they call them, they're simply not turning. They're simply not running at all. And here's what happens with the power company. The more of this that you install, the more difficult it is for the power company to maintain voltage. Because if it's a gusty day, which it is most days, the wind is not constant. And by the way, this is what I had to design into the wing generator, so that it produces a level amount of energy at all wind speeds, something the three-blade monsters don't do. They simply, at the Central Power Company, they simply shut them off. And so this pie in the sky, 54,000 homes, is absurd. Now take the national average. In 5 years, 10% of those wind towers will be dysfunctional for one reason or another, and they will be awaiting repair. So then your 22,000 homes all of a sudden dips down under 20,000, maybe 18,000 homes. And over the lifetime, the next 10 years of this power system with these 65 wind turbines, you'll be lucky to power 5 or 10,000 homes. Now, if you take the cost of this project and you average it over that few of a number of homes, what you come out with is an exorbitant amount of money. Now, Michigan has passed laws saying they want 15% renewable energy, I think by next year, by 2020, something like that. And the reality is that they're not going to achieve that, no matter how much money they spend. And by the way, this only amounts to about 4% of the electricity needed by the state. So it's not a solution. They're looking at 50% by the year 2030. And once again, these goals are exactly what the Central Power Company wants. They want something to make politicians look good, something to make the people feel good, even when they're paying higher price for electricity. So anyway, I could go on and on about how to read these gee whiz articles that you see in the newspaper. Or if you're from Michigan, just go across the border to the north and talk to the people in Ontario and the eastern province, Quebec, etc., in Canada, especially Ontario, to find out their experiences with three-blade wind turbines. And it isn't good, but at any rate, you have to understand how to read these articles, because you're not getting the truth. Especially, there's so many magazines today dedicated to trying hyping alternative energy, and really the three-blade wind turbine and the solar panels are a farce. They don't work. And as I talked about last week, I saw another article about this, and this is going to come out more and more, that the central power companies and companies like GE, etc., are going to send out people. They're going to appear to be independent, but you have to ask yourself, where do these people get the money to go on tour to promote this idea that, oh, alternative energy is failing? We got to go to nuclear power. And nuclear power, they're going to try and to tell you, is wonderful and safe. By the way, the latest estimate for Fukushima cleanup is $80 trillion. Yeah, that's right. $80 trillion to clean up a failed nuclear power plant. And they're trying to tell you that it's clean. No, it has destroyed the Pacific Ocean and one single power plant. These nuclear is the worst idea since sliced bread. But you're going to hear more and more about just how great it is and how France is succeeding with every excuse in the book, how it's clean and nobody dies from nuclear power. Why don't you tell that to the dolphins that just washed up on the shore outside of Los Angeles, full of cancer, deformed? Yeah, tell it to them. Just a quick comment here. Who owns your computer? Who owns the internet? Who owns Google, Facebook, Wikipedia? And how do they cleanse the internet? How do they keep real information from emerging? And they do this, of course, by creating dialogues in which they create both sides of the dialogue. But who owns your computer? Literally, you do not. You go and buy it. It sits in your house or in your desk, your work desk, but you do not own your computer. Everything about it is being recorded. Every keystroke, everything you do. Who owns the internet? Well, a number of years ago, there was an effort to take down the internet. And what they said, and this was like Hillary Clinton and other people are saying, the internet is a threat to them. The internet is a threat to their power, because never before in history were people able to communicate. I remember when I was a little kid, it was only official people could go talk to Russia. Only official people, because those Russians are all bad and we can only send official people. Well, that kept the Cold War going for 50 years. But, you know, the internet came about, and then all of a sudden we realized that, hey, the people in the world are just regular people. Isn't that interesting? So anyway, they wanted to shut down the internet, and then they got the bright idea that, no, they just control the information on the internet. So the big push has been to cleanse the internet, to just go out. And this actually happened with books. When I was a kid, they caught a guy that was going into all the libraries, and his job was to go around literally to all the libraries in the country and find books that were not, they didn't want the public to see these books. And so they basically took the books off the shelves, removed the cards from the card is like a box. You used to go to a library, still do, I guess. But you pull out a drawer, and it had the card catalog, and you'd go through there to find the book. You could search by subject or title or author, etc. And that was the Dewey Decimal System of classifications of books. And I know they wouldn't allow my books into the libraries. There was a ban on my books from going into public libraries. Isn't that interesting? But this guy would go around and make sure that certain books were taken off the shelves. This is when I was a little kid. And now the modern version of that is the internet. They go around and the people work apparently for pretty low wages for Google, etc., and the CIA and NSA, etc. They go around and do internet searches to make sure that the content is what they want. And if it's not what they want, it gets removed. So who owns the internet? Well, you don't, I can tell you that. How about Google and Facebook and Wikipedia? All controlled. How do they cleanse the internet? They simply have teams, tens of thousands of people who are constantly scouring the internet. That's their job. They go in, and that's what they do every day. What have you, as a business or as a individual or as someone that had an agenda of some kind or a goal, what if you had 10,000 people working for you every day to go out and put your message on the internet? What if you had that? That would be pretty amazing. But you don't. What you have are people making sure that anything you see on the internet has been cleansed. So at any rate, who owns your computer, the internet, etc.? Well, you don't. And there are people that do. There's a lot of influence on this. And censorship, the ability to take people's message and get rid of it, is as alive and well today as it has ever been in history. Whether it was like in Stalin's Russia, I mean, read about that sometime, about the cleansing of people and information, etc. You know, this is due to paranoia. Because if people had a real plan, if they had something beneficial, they wouldn't have to do this. But they have to because they know if the people found out what they're doing, what they're really doing, then they wouldn't stand for it. As one congressman said, they are just window dressing, and if people found out what they were really doing, they would take them out and hang them right away. End of story. Okay, so with about 15 minutes left, I got through the weekly announcements. I'm going to talk about dust belts in the solar system. Now, this is an amazing thing, which obviously NASA had been hiding for a good deal of time. It's now coming out a little bit more, at least in the public eye. But there's a set of satellites. It's called Stereo. There's Stereo A and Stereo B. And they give us a stereoscopic view of the sun and the solar system. But primarily they're to observe the sun. But what they noticed was that as Mercury and Venus came around in their orbits, because they are inside of Earth's orbit and the Stereo spacecraft is in near Earth orbit, the Stereo spacecraft would see, as the planets would come around, and in that region, they would see dust clouds. So Mercury has a dust cloud, and I have talked about this for years, that the planets obviously have this. But of course, then they hand it over to the ding-dong Tier 2 scientists at NASA Goddard JPL, and they have to come up with the ding-dong Tier 2 science explanation. So they go, oh, there must be an asteroid in the same orbit as Venus, one that we don't see, we've never seen. And of course, if there were such an asteroid, we would have seen it, because the search engines, the telescope search programs, are very detailed, and they know every rock between the sun and Jupiter easily, and probably lots more. So the idea that there's some kind of amazing asteroid all of a sudden there is preposterous. It's ridiculous. But that's their so-called explanation. But the real explanation, it's what I have been saying all along. I've said this, and in fact, I've talked about the rings, the dust rings that you would have to find for Mercury, Venus, and literally all the planets. Some of the more prominent rings are, for example, with Io, the nearest Galilean large moon of Jupiter. Also, Dion, you might say, of Saturn, the moon that dominates Saturn's magnetic field, and Io dominating the Jupiter magnetic field. And what happens is they are discharging the local capacitor and basically doing the same thing that comets do, but because they move rapidly in their orbits, what a comet does is there's time for the tail material to come in and form a nice comet tail that comes into the comet nucleus. But if the nucleus is moving too fast, then the comet moves out of the way, and the material, what it does is as it comes in around behind the comet, it still sees that electric field of the comet, which is dominant because it's close. The material swings around and goes in the same orbit as the object, in this case, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, and they said they've even discovered such a dust cloud for Pluto. way out at the edge of the solar system. And believe me, out at that region and in the spaces involved, gravity is not a factor. And that's what led me to believe, too, when I was working on the Saturn data back in the Cornell days, back in 1979, 80, before the spacecraft ever got to Saturn, it was clear to me that these had to be electrical effects. And that's what allowed me to predict the moons in Saturn's rings, because that was, in fact, that was one of the very first really concrete predictions that I made that was correct, was right on. It was so right on that NASA scientist Joe Burns stole my material and became the sweeper moon expert at NASA. So anyway, that story is on the internet. You can read about that, where he was the editor-in-chief, substitute for Carl Sagan, at the Cornell Space Science Journal Icarus. I submitted my paper to Icarus, and Joe wrote back a letter saying, this is absurd. You don't have to invoke electric fields, that the rings of Saturn were left over from the formation of the solar system. And then when it was discovered, when the moons were actually discovered, Joe came out to become the NASA sweeper moons expert for Saturn. He even wrote a book about it. Anyway, that's what you get when you submit a journal article to the peer review journals. What a crock. But anyway, the same thing is going on with all of the planets. So the end result is that the rings of dust could not possibly be a result of gravitational interactions because of the distances involved. If you, this is something that I was able to do in my early work also, was that I started looking at electric and magnetic fields, and I realized that with an electric field, the particles, the ions, the dust particles, etc., up to the size of kind of large dust particles, would move much faster in an electrical environment than in a gravitational environment. After that, the surface distribution of charge on the object, because this is surface charge, it's not internal charge, the surface charge became proportionately much smaller. And so therefore, once you got up to something, say, the size of a golf ball or larger, the electrical forces literally matched the gravitational forces. And once you got bigger, if you got up to the size of a basketball or bigger, then the electrical forces were not as significant as gravitational forces. So the electrical forces only worked on this small stuff. And the exception to that was when a comet nucleus or a charged moon around Saturn would become very close to an object, and there was a tertiary force, it's called the induced electric dipole force, in which free electrons are able to move, and the free electrons move away from the negatively charged object, leaving the close sides positively charged, and there's a slight differential force because the charges are separated in the direction of the charged object that's that creates this non-uniform electric field. So, and it has to be a non-uniform electric field and fairly significant for this induced electric dipole force to work. And so the end result was that was the one exception, and that's what causes comets to pick up meteor streams, because the material, and then when we see meteor streams that result from comets, if one makes it all the way to the ground and we're able to examine it, then what you see is that it's got a concentration of metals in it. The small chunks of material out there that do not have metal do not experience the induced electric dipole force, because the induced electric dipole force depends on conductors, where the electrons can separate. The bigger the piece, the greater the force. But at any rate, this is the only exception to the general rule that only small particles are affected. And so Therefore, when you see, for example, the yo-yos running around, jumping around, jumping up and down around the internet, saying, oh, that Saturn went flying around because of electric fields, they don't know what they're talking about. They're just, they're idiots. And they're destroying the field that I created, the electric universe topic. They're destroying it because they're idiots. But you got to understand, those people also are supported by the CIA. They get money under the table to keep their web pages going. They're staffed by people that are in contact continually with NASA, et cetera, to coordinate their efforts. And so being the mouthpiece that is trying to steal Jim McCanney's work is a profitable business. And these people, like I say, are idiots. They get paid under the table, and they can put all their stuff on YouTube once again, where I cannot. My stuff gets scrubbed off YouTube the second it shows up there. Anyway, it's an interesting world we live in, but that's why people come to this radio show, to get the real information, because you're not going to get it out there. That's why I post on my webpage. I don't post on YouTube. So if you hear my voice on a YouTube video, the only exception is if, say, I'm an interview with the Power Hour or John Moore Show, where they put their show on the internet and I'm a guest. Well, then that's the way it is. But those are isolated locations that are, you know, as when I'm a guest on these other radio shows. But as far as me posting and going to YouTube, no, don't do it. And it's, the reason is because you would be putting your material in amongst a bunch of garbage, and the general public really can't sort it out. So I just have a blanket statement. I don't post on YouTube, and that was a good decision. When YouTube first came out, it was kind of a temptation to start posting on YouTube. And I said, no, you know, I'm not going to bite that carrot. I'm not going to do that. And it was a good decision. I stuck with it. And I would have probably made a lot more money. You know, I'd have probably had a lot more fame if I would have posted on YouTube. But no, sorry, I don't go that route. I just got about under a minute here. I just wanted to let you know that the MR7, the whole house filter, is on sale. There's a sale on my webpage. And stop showering in that chemical soup. Stop washing your clothes with chlorinated water. That's destroying them. That's why you see all that lint when you dry your clothes. That's because the chlorine in the water is destroying it. Get the fluoride, arsenic, all of that out of your water. In my whole house water filters remove the same laundry list of volatile chemicals, heavy metals, etc., as my standard GF gravity feed water filters and above sink and above and below sink water filter models. So go to the webpage, jmccsci.com. This is Jim McCanney. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.